Friends, I'm going to share a little secret with you. Maybe it's not so much of a secret, but for me, the hardest part of writing a sermon is figuring out how to get into it. You know, the exegesis of the passage and understanding that and bringing it to you, that's easy, but it's how do I start this? How do I get into it? And I often struggle with that. And so when that happens, I often need to get away. I need to go somewhere, maybe out into the mountains, and just think and reflect. And a few years ago, that happened this week for me. But I remembered something that happened a few years ago. I went up onto a mountain. I was going to cross this dirt road across the ridge of the mountain. And as I was driving across, I see this little dog coming toward me. Little black dog, and there was no one around it. And I thought that was odd, and so I stopped, and the dog kind of put its feet up on my car door, and I thought, this dog's lost. I'm like, no, I don't have time for this right now. I just don't, Lord, I don't have time for this. And I said, he'll find his way home. And so I started down that road, and not very far, the Lord slapped me upside the head hard, and he said, Rick, you are a pastor, not just a pastor of those created in my image, but of all of my creation. And so I stopped and I looked in my rearview mirror, and sure enough, she was chasing me down the road. So I got out, and she had a collar on and she had a phone number on it. So I tried to call, but I was out of cell phone range. So I thought, I'm going to have to take her somewhere where I can come into the range so I can call. So I said, get in, and she jumped right in my car, no hesitation. But I could tell that she was stressed. She was panting. She needed water badly. And so I went about 5 miles down the road to one of my parishioners. I thought I can get her water there, but he wasn't home. But he had a little ornamental goldfish pond out by his porch. I said, you can have that. And I think she drank half of that little pond. And so when she had her fill, I put her back in the car, and I no more and got started, and everything she drank was now on my back seat. Yeah. So I drove down to one of my churches. I was finally in cell service, called her owner, and he said that he could meet me very soon in like 10 minutes, which would have been 12 o'clock noon. So at 12 o'clock noon, we met at this common crossroads, and I was able to return little Jessie back to her owner. Now, speaking of crossroads, this is where this is coming in. Crossroads. If you haven't guessed it yet, I am a fan of music. I love all kinds of music. I love classical music, country music, classic rock, soft rock, folk music, bluegrass music, some, and I emphasize some, rap music, and blues. I love blues. And my favorite blues artist is Robert Johnson, king of the Mississippi Delta blues. And there's a lot of mystery surrounding Robert Johnson. The first thing is his music. He had a very unique style, and many have tried to copy his style, but have failed. And many, you know, they're trying to figure it out. And they say that there's only one person playing on these songs, but experts would swear there are two people playing. And he developed this unique style in only 2 years. So Robert Johnson was bound for greatness. Unfortunately, he died in 1939 at the age of 27, after a jealous husband handed him a poisoned bottle of whiskey. But even his death is shrouded in mystery. Robert Johnson recorded 29 songs, but they never became famous until about 20 years later. You see, when Johnson recorded his music, we had just ended one world war and were looking at entering a second. And so war songs like Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, Don't Fence Me In, and Sentimental Journey were all the rage. Then Elvis, Bill Bill Haley and Buddy Holly ushered rock and roll music into the 50s. But then in the 60s, a guy by the name of Bob Dylan, have you guys heard of him? Bob Dylan came along with his folksy kind of blues songs, and the man who owned the right to Robert Johnson's music thought maybe the world was ready to be introduced to Robert Johnson, and it was. His music crossed the oceans with the Vietnam War, and some musicians in Europe fell in love with it and started covering his songs. Musicians like Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, and most famously, Eric Clapton. Now, if any of you are, you know, familiar with Robert Johnson, it's probably not because of his music, but it's probably because of the storied legend of his trip down to the crossroads. Like I said, people questioned his incredible, unique style and his fast learning. But in 1971, a writer interviewed another famous bluesman who was a great friend of Robert Johnson's, named Sunhouse. And Sunhouse said that Robert Johnson was so good because he sold his soul to the devil. Now, where did he get an idea like that? Well, in that same year, 1971, another reporter was doing a story on another great bluesman named Tommy Johnson. Tommy, not Robert. And Tommy's older brother told this man that Tommy told him that the reason he was so good is because one night he went down alone at midnight to an isolated crossroads. And see how God's working this out? I was at a crossroads at 12 noon. And Robert was at a crossroads at 12 midnight, or Tommy, and that got me thinking about this and led to my introduction. Probably didn't need it. But anyhow, Tommy said he sat down and started playing a tune. And not long after that, a big man all in black showed up out of nowhere. And he walked over, he took Tommy's guitar, he tuned it and played a few tunes and handed it back. Tommy said that night, he sold his soul to the devil, and that is how he learned to play every song. When the reporter went back and told this story to his magazine, the music promoter asked, "Are you sure this is Tommy Johnson? Because it would be much better if it was Robert Johnson, because he wrote a song about the crossroads and another one about walking with the devil." Well, the music producer, looking to sell records, decided right then and there to attach this story to Robert Johnson, and it spread into infamy. So what about the real Robert Johnson? Well, he was a good and talented guitarist, but he fell in love, and he and his wife had decided that they would live a traditional life, and they bought a farm. Soon after, they were expecting their first child, and in her ninth month, Robert's wife, Virginia, decided to travel to her parents' home to have the baby. Robert agreed and said he would stay for a few weeks, keep the farm up and all of that, and would meet her there. Now, with nothing to do in the evenings, Robert decided he'd play a few gigs and make some money. And then when he went to be with his wife, he found out that she and the baby both died in childbirth. To make matters worse, her family blamed him for their deaths because he was too busy playing the devil's music in the devil's halls. This devastated Robert Johnson. He was broken and bitter and angry, and it sent him down a spiral of depression and booze and music that unfortunately eventually led to his murder, but not before he wrote his songs about his feelings and the blues that he felt. You see, the thing that made Robert Johnson so great wasn't the devil. It was grief. It was sorrow. He could have taken all of that pain and sorrow, and he could have poured it into hatred for his in-laws and to God. He could have taken all of that anguish and despair and poured it into a bottle and become some drunk wino on the street somewhere. He could have taken all that anger and bitterness and picked up a hoe and beat it into the fields of his farm. But instead, he emptied himself and his feelings into his music, and produce songs in a style that live on and continue to inspire. The question I have this morning is, could Robert Johnson have become so great if he had not gone through the trials and heartbreak that he did? I don't think so. I believe these were necessary in order to get him to a place that he would have never had those feelings without those experiences. He would have never written those songs. He would have never, penned those notes without those experiences. He would have farmed his land, probably gotten remarried, had a family, instead of taking time to form his style and write his songs. Would he have traded all of that for his wife and child? Most certainly. But that wasn't God's plans for Robert Johnson. Now, I'm not saying that God caused all of that terrible stuff to happen to him. Absolutely not. But God knew those things would happen, and so he used them to strengthen Robert, like he did David. David, who is considered one of, if not the greatest king ever. When we think about David, we often think of his psalms like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or, "Sing your praises to the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord." We think of David as this young boy so full of faith that he was able to defeat the giant Goliath. However, he was also a king who had an affair with another man's wife, and he lied about it. He tried to cover it up, and when he couldn't, he had that man killed. His family was so wildly dysfunctional, his son tried to have him killed. And if you've ever read his Psalms, you know that David often shook his fist at God and said, "Why? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? I cry out to you, but there is no answer." Psalm 43, "Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemies?" Or the text in today's Psalm 10, "Why do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself from me in my time of need?" Psalm 13, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever?" God says, "How long? As long as it takes." Why? Why? Because David wasn't a great king when he started out. David was a beloved king, he was a good king, but he also had made some serious mistakes and he committed some grave sins. But it was the trials and hardships that helped him become a great king and that changed him into and shaped him into a man that was after God's own heart. I think of Moses. Basically, he was, abandoned on Pharaoh's doorstep. Raised as a prince of Egypt, but then he murdered an Egyptian slave master and became a felon. And so he took off and he went into the wilderness and he wandered around there until he ran into Jethro, who took him in and gave him a job watching his sheep. Moses, the prince of Egypt, who had all the power and money and respect and education, armies and luxuries, now a sheep farmer. But because of his trials and his faith in God, he would become a great leader of Israel and called the first and greatest prophet. I wonder, would Joseph have become a great leader of Egypt if he hadn't been mocked and scorned by his jealous brothers and beaten and thrown into a well, sold into slavery, accused by his slave master's wife of attempted rape, thrown in jail and forgotten for 10 years? And what about the Apostle Paul, who helped to set the structure and order for the early church, who has given us great instruction and encouragement through his pastoral letters written to these early churches? But Paul went through two shipwrecks. He was bitten by snakes. He was beaten and imprisoned four times, and the last for 2 years, where he had a Roman soldier attached to him day and night. But without these terrible trials, would we even know really Paul or his teachings? For he wrote half of the letters that we have, that we know, from prison, because he couldn't go there and speak to them himself. Or what about our opening hymn that has comforted and encouraged hundreds of millions of people for years? Its author, John Newton, was a slave trader. His mother, who wanted him to become a preacher, died when he was 7. And his ship captain father took him out to sea when he was 11, and he engaged in a life of carousing and alcohol and profanity. He tried to desert the British Navy and got 96 lashes for it. He then was demoted to a slave ship and was eventually abandoned in West Africa, where he himself was enslaved by African royals. He was then assigned to another slave ship, which found itself in a terrible storm that threatened to sink the ship. And in the bowels of that ship, John Newton remembered his mother's faith, and he began to pray. And the ship and all of its crew members were saved. And he said that was his conversion moment. And 17 years later, at the age of 39, he fulfilled his mother's dream and was ordained an Anglican priest. And he preached the gospel for 43 years and wrote hymns like Amazing Grace. Now I ask you, where would the hundreds of millions of people who have found solace and courage and hope be without that song? But could John Newton have written Amazing Grace without having endured the trials and hardships and experiencing that grace? I shared these stories with you because each of these people at one point in their lives stood at an important crossroad. And they had a choice to make. They could turn to God, or they could sell their soul to the devil. They could allow their circumstances, their hurt, to pull them down deeper into darkness of bitterness and hatred, or they could remain godly and allow these things, these experiences, to strengthen them and make them better. Now, I've shared with you just a pittance of humanity's struggles, but I wonder, what trials are you dealing with this morning? Or maybe you still have a hangover from something that happened in the past, a pain, a struggle, an addiction, financial problems, broken relationships, the death of a loved one that maybe you blame God for. You're asking why still. If you find yourself floundering in despair and considering just giving up, giving in, if you are doubting God's love or his ability to provide for you, if you have been shaking your fist at heaven asking why or how long, well, then you are standing at a crossroad. And you can either allow your circumstances to drag you down into despair, or you can allow them to strengthen you and your faith. Now, I know it's not easy. Each of us have our own hardships, our struggles, our losses, our pains, our doubts. But I also know that God has a plan for us, one that was laid out before we were ever born. That's not to say that God causes our trials and our troubles. No, we do most of that ourselves. But God knows these trials are coming, and so he plans to help us get through it and to helps us to, and if we're faithful to him, he's there. He walks through that valley with us. Scripture says God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle. That is true, and it is not true. On the surface, it's a false statement, because God often allows us to be tempted with things we can't handle. It is. Without God, we can be overcome. It's more than what we can handle. But God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle with his help. Say that with me, with his help. Amen? For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Robert Johnson knew that. He sang, I went down to the crossroads and I fell down on my knees. I went down to the crossroads and I fell down on my knees. And I asked the Lord above, have mercy. Now save poor Bob, if you please. You see, Robert didn't go to the crossroads to seek the devil. He was seeking God. Help me. John Newton knew this when he sang, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. But grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. John Newton knew that. God knows the plans that he has for us. And they are plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Prosper, meaning to succeed, to grow strong and healthy, to flourish, to progress. And Jesus echoed that in John 10:10, saying, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I'm sure that Moses, Joseph, David, John Newton, and Robert Johnson, all, even though his life was short, they all had felt that their lives were full, but their trials and their heartaches helped to make their lives fully lived. Friends, at times in our lives, we all stand at a crossroads, and two men will meet us there, one with a shroud of darkness and the other light. And each one will take our guitar and tune it and hand it back to us. The question is, what songs will we write and sing? Songs of bitterness, anger, and despair, or songs of faith and trust and praise to God? We can trust the one who strengthens us through all things. And we can, or we can sell out to the devil. Friends, may we stand at the crossroads, look and ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for our souls, as David said. Let us encourage one another and sing your praise to the Lord and know it is well. Choose this day whom you will serve. Amen. Gracious God, as we stand before you today, we have all these cares. It is my prayer that we will lay them at your feet. Lord, we each have a crossroad, more than we often want to believe. We come to a crossroads. What decision will we make? Will we allow bitterness and sadness to draw us down into Satan's grip? Or Lord, will we trust in you to get us through, to walk with us? Will our faith be strengthened? And Lord, the trials that we have, they do make us stronger, but they can also help us lead others out of those same trials and into your arms. And so Lord, we pray this morning. We pray.